Chapter 51. Jesse fed Mildred memory and left the house to join the night patrol team. Thus far, the search had turned up nothing. No one recognized the photo of Rollo Nurse. No one remembered having seen him. The stepped-up night patrol had garnered no results. He was prepared for a long night. Several minutes after Jesse left, Rollo emerged from the darkness at the entrance to the footbridge. He walked swiftly across it. He went around to the porch doors, and after determining they were locked, he smashed a glass pane on one of them. He reached inside, mindful of the broken glass. He turned the knob and opened the door. He went inside. "So this is how he lives," thought Rollo, as he looked around the house. "Not so fancy. His things aren't so fancy." He took out his flashlight and his Bowie knife. He began to systematically destroy the living room. He smashed lamps. He slammed the TV to the floor. He broke glasses. He sliced open the leather armchairs and ripped out the stuffing. He upended the desk. In the kitchen, he noticed the bowls of food that had been placed on the floor. He picked one of them up and caught a whiff of cat food. He continued his destruction. But now he was also searching for a cat. Suitcase drove and Jesse rode shotgun as they joined the night patrol. There was no sign of Rollo. Somewhere between 3 and 4 a.m., they decided to call it a night. Suitcase was hungry, and he convinced Jesse to accompany him to a highway diner. Suitcase ordered the breakfast special, 3 eggs with sausage and home fries. He slathered his sourdough toast with butter and jelly and washed it down with a supersized Diet Coke. Jesse had coffee. "I didn't think I'd be eating alone," Suitcase said. "But you compensated by eating enough for us both," Jesse said. "I'm still growing," Suitcase said. "Yes, but in which direction?" Jesse said. Jesse noticed that the waitress, a pretty woman named Debbie, was particularly solicitous of Suitcase's dining needs. She hovered over him when she took his order. She brushed up against him when she served it. She kept returning to ask if everything was all right. He also noticed that Suitcase interrupted his gormandizing to watch Debbie every time she sauntered by. "You got something going with her," Jesse said. "What do you mean?" Suitcase said. "Debbie, the waitress, you got something going with her? Why do you ask?" "Come on, Suit. The only thing that tears your attention away from your food is the sight of her ass." "That's not a nice thing to say, Jesse."
"But it's true."
Suitcase didn't say anything.
"So?"
Jesse said.
"Maybe."
"What maybe?"
"We went to high school together," Suitcase said.
"And?"
"We dated."
"And?"
"She wanted to get married, and I didn't."
Jesse didn't say anything.
"So she married someone else."
"And?"
"Stop saying and."
Jesse shrugged. "So she got married to someone else," Jesse said.
"Yes," Suitcase said.
"And?"
"She got divorced."
"Kids?"
"2.
Jesse didn't say anything.
"We fool around," Suitcase said.
"Serious?"
"Not serious. She's got 2 kids, for God's sake."
"But you like each other?"
"After a fashion."
"What's that supposed to mean?"
"We like each other, but we're not serious," Suitcase said.
"Is she the reason we came here?"
"It's a toss-up."
"A toss-up?"
"The breakfast special was a big attraction."
"And Debbie?"
"She was a big attraction, too."
"Which isn't obvious in any way."
"Is it obvious?" Suitcase said.
"Do firemen wear red suspenders?" Jesse said. Jesse knew something was wrong as soon as he crossed the footbridge. He could sense it. He unholstered his pistol, turned on his high-beam flashlight, and began to circle the house. He saw that the front door was off its hinges, hanging open. He noticed the damaged porch doors. He went inside. The devastation was total. Everything that could possibly have been broken was. He stepped over shattered glass and overturned furniture. Nothing was as it had been. He stepped onto the patio. The love seat had been cut open and its innards strewn about. He went upstairs and found the remains of his bedroom. The mattress had been slashed. The furniture lay splintered on the floor. He called for Mildred Memory, but she didn't appear, which alarmed him. He righted one of his kitchen chairs and sat down heavily, his head in his hands. He knew it was Rollo Nurse. He phoned Molly. Dawn was just breaking. She told him she'd be right over. After having examined the wreckage, Molly sat down alongside Jesse.
"We can fix this," she said.
He shrugged.
"You're worried about the cat," she said.
"I am."
"She'll turn up. Cats have a way of doing that."
He didn't say anything. Because Jesse's phone had been ripped from the wall, Molly used her cell to make several calls. One was to Captain Healy. Healy stopped by on his way to Boston.
"Rollo Nurse," he said.
"Be my guess," Jesse said.
"He's getting bolder," Healy said.
"He is," Jesse said.
"What's next?"
"I have to find him."
"He could be anywhere."
"He could." Healy didn't say anything. "I'm going to put more boots on the ground, ratchet up the surveillance. He's bound to slip up," Jesse said.
"He hasn't yet."
The two men didn't speak for a while. Then Jesse said, "Mildred Memory is missing."
"She's missing?"
"I haven't found her." Healy considered this for a while.
"Have you looked under the furniture?" he said.
"Under what furniture? It's all ruined." Healy went out to the porch. Although the love seat had been decimated, it still stood upright. He knelt down and looked beneath it.
"Come here, Jesse," he said.
Jesse stepped outside.
"Look under the love seat," Healy said.
Jesse knelt down and looked. The first thing he saw were the eyes. They squarely met his gaze. When he reached for her, the cat began to inch its way from her cramped hiding place. When she emerged, Jesse picked her up and held her. "How did you know?" Jesse said.
"Cat whisperer," Healy said.